and welcome to episode 30 of Tabletop Game Talk, a show where we talk about tabletop games of all types. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Fletcher. Blimey.
Today we're talking about drinking games. At last, the ones you...
At least.
Chris can't type. At least the ones you play on the table. Because after all, we talk about tabletop games of all kinds, I assume is what you meant to type there.
That's what I meant.
But first, we'll go off topic, starting with some news announcements and feedbacks.
Thank you. So, if it's not already obvious, and we warned you last week, this is our episode on drinking games, and it is going to be a great episode, I promise. Kitty, oh, wait, Josh isn't here.
That's so, me.
There's no Josh.
There's no Josh. Yeah,
no, so, I'm a special... Special guest.
Special guest Fletcher.
Yes, that's me.
Yes. So I needed somebody to fill in for Josh because even though he's just super excited about this episode, he completely forgot that he was flying to, I think, Florida or Georgia or where is South by Southwest?
I thought it was like Austin. Arizona.
Austin, Texas.
It's in Austin, Texas, which is my hometown.
Does it move around?
No, it's always in Austin.
It is South by Southwest. It's always like, you know, in the Southwest.
Yeah.
Which you were saying the Southeast.
East. Florida.
All right. Well, that's
South
great.
Southwest
that makes a whole lot more sense.
In Austin, Texas.
All right.
I grew up with South by Southwest. Back when it was an actual music festival.
Wait, it used to start as a musical festival?
Yes.
Because I thought it was still a text mostly.
Thing. I know. I don't know what happened.
It went from music
to text.
I left,
and then it changed to like a tech thing.
That's awesome. So to summarize, Josh isn't here.
No, Josh.
We have Fletcher. We have been, our game of today were drinking games.
Which means we're already drunk.
Already there. On the show, we have various kinds of Sprite and grape juice. I have grape juice and you have, that's Dr. Pepper or something,
this is
right?
Yeah. It's Dr. Cola.
I like that one. Josh will be back next week. And he's going to listen to this episode and be like, I could have done better. But,
well, I mean, that's no fair for me because he has a British accent.
He does.
So that automatically makes him more interesting and sound smarter.
I really thought about reading the intro in a British accent. But, like, as much as Josh gets flack for being a fake British accent, I couldn't imagine that my actual fake British accent
it's
would
true.
Do any better.
We haven't even gone off topic yet, and we're still into the birther conspiracy. Okay, first, let's get the whole Patreon thank yous out of the way. Not that that's an inconvenience. It really, really isn't.
Yay, thank you.
So, friends of the show, Emil Jewel-Jam, Lucas Hartso, Charles Finch, Jade Patterson, Shane Poole, our newest, Michael Hoban, and Jaquin Hagar. I hope I'm saying that right. Also, I promised last week that we weren't going to increase the number of friends of the show. I didn't actually... But this does lead me to a change in Patreon that happened this week. There was a lot of confusion because we're doing Friday interviews now. And right now, it used to be we were charging per episode. But I was never planning on charging for the bonus episodes. But because of the confusion, I'm like, all right, I just need to switch everything over to a monthly so there's no confusion when we put out the extras. So I sent an email out to all the patrons through Patreon. And just explaining why the change and why it happened. And in order for me to do that, I had to actually create new monthly levels. So all the old levels are a quarter of what they would have been otherwise. If you want to continue to be a friend of the show and there's not a slot for you, please just email me tabletopgametalk@gmail.com and I tabletopgametalk@gmail.com and I will make sure to take care of it. Anyone who is backing at the old levels, there are equivalent new levels to back at. You'll automatically be converted to the new lower levels, actually literally today. But again, we completely appreciate all of you.
We also appreciate you.
Appreciate you too.
Did we even thank our newest patrons yet?
We were going to do that in just a second. And I think a special thank you for the people who have already switched over. The vast majority of people have already switched over. But I wanted to mention it on
thank
the podcast
you.
Just in case. And thank you. And thanks to our newest patrons. We have Joseph Lee. We have Jerry Hung. We have Alex Brown and Mike Smith. Thank you and welcome. If you are interested in Patreon, I promise Actually, I can't make promises like this. I hope to never have to make any more changes to the Patreon levels as the way I just did. Check us out at tabletopgametalk.com.
You should enjoy the names of our new levels because they're very entertaining.
Yes. I decided
to them is one of my favorite games that Chris hates.
It's not that I hate it.
You just don't like it when I talk about
it. I just don't like it as much as you like it. But it's still a great game. We're talking about Carcassonne, if you don't know.
I was talking about Yahtzee.
Oh, Yahtzee. Yahtzee. All right. For the record.
Yahtzee is the punchline of every joke.
Yeah. I'm just going to put this on the record right now.
Podcast, well, for your anti-Yahtzee attitudes.
You know, first and last. What can I say?
No. I like Yahtzee. I really do.
That's because you're from the Midwest.
I grew up in the Midwest playing Yahtzee. I like this Texan twang thing we have.
I don't really have a twang.
You don't at all.
Thank you.
You're not Texan.
You really don't.
I am Texan.
When did you move here from Texas?
2008.
So in 2008. So you're saying in.
But I'm from Austin. I'm from Austin, Texas.
Oh, right. Austin doesn't have an accent.
Keep Austin weird.
Keep Austin weird. Exactly.
Fair enough. All right. Excellent. If you're in Texas.
If you're in Texan, either. Either one, Texas or Texan.
Fletcher, just keep drinking. We've got to get to our level.
You're good.
Finish that drink. Okay.
Which is what? Dr. Cola, right?
Dr. Cola.
Yeah.
Finish your Dr. Cola. Let's.
All right. But the point I'm trying to make is thank all of our patrons. We're good. Oh, so if you're watching on YouTube and for this episode.
This is not good pod.
you may want to. Kitty has a roulette shot glass drinking game. And just periodically, she's going to roll something. And
18.
So we're all checking our glasses right now. I do not have 18. Fletcher
has. Is that red or black?
Red.
It's red.
18
it's
red.
Me.
All right. It's you.
So that means that Fletcher's going to ring Dr. Cola.
Yes. Have a shot of Dr. Cola.
So this is going to periodically happen throughout the show. If you are not into drinking games, I promise there is a lot of content that is not drinking game related. Again, I'm making promises I can't keep.
I was going to say, I'm making a lot of faces at YouTube right now.
I promise we will try to relate this back to normal gaming as well. Because we did try to actually play a game after a drinking game to see if we could figure out how to play this game.
How well did it go?
And Spoiler alert, nope.
Yeah, so there was that. I think they're coming for us right now, by the way. But
oh, yeah, sorry.
So
sounds of the world. Are happening.
Let's get to some more serious news and announcements.
Contest! Wait, no contest.
Not yet.
Giveaway.
Not yet. Giveaway, but not yet. Not yet. First, I want to let everyone know, if you are not subscribed to this podcast, you may have missed my interview with Isaac Childress, creator of Gloomhaven, which we're giving away. If for some reason, somehow, you missed that episode, you should go back and listen to it. So that was our Friday episode. Mm-hmm. I warned you last week that we were going to have something on Friday. And hopefully you find that episode interesting and informative. In fact, I believe that's the first place he announced the pricing of the new Kickstarter coming up. So for those who missed it, Gloomhaven, the Kickstarter is going to start in April. It's actually Founders of Gloomhaven Kickstarter, but there will be a level where you can get Gloomhaven. And the price is only $100, which is ridiculous because the retail price of this is $120. He's upping the retail to $140, and $100 is still way too cheap for this game, if you ask me. We will get to the drawing. I wanted to hold it and wait till the end of the episode, mid-episode, but I don't want to punish people.
But it's our drinking game episode. Yeah. We don't trust ourselves.
So we'll do this a little earlier. I'm going to skip all of this. Now, right now, Fletcher is... He's drinking. The least.
I think a past tense is drunk.
Drunk. He's drunk the least of the Dr. Cola. So he is actually going to do our drawing right now. And this we're going to do this right now. No, we're not.
Yes, it's in the show notes.
I want to do my weight first real quick because Josh wasn't here and my weight is not climactic, so I can't follow Gloomhaven with this. 191.7, I'm flat, 23.3 overall since the beginning of the year. I will do better next week.
Should I do my thing? Yes. In news announcements too?
Yeah.
My second episode of our new podcast. My new podcast, Fresh Baked Books. Check us out on iTunes. Please, please, please give us a review. That would be great.
What are you talking about?
Boy Meets Girl by Meg Cabot and Ginger Snap Cookies, where I don't actually like ginger snap cookies. So I do my best to make ginger snap cookies that people who don't necessarily like cinnamon or crunchy cookies will still enjoy them.
Yeah. I drank a lot. No, I did not drink a lot. Yes, I did. But I ate a lot of these ginger snap cookies that
she brought them down last week. Yeah. Yep.
And I just kept eating them and eating them. They were delicious. Also, I've listened, obviously, I'm listening to your podcast, but the number of times you say love in it.
I got your email. Thanks a lot, Chris. Now we're super self-conscious. We do say love a lot. So, we love to say love.
Yeah. So if you want to hear Kitty and Eve say love a lot, definitely listen to it. It's a fun listen. And you guys are doing short form, so it's only like 30 minutes or so. So I like it. All right.
The moment everyone has been waiting for?
No, I'm going to tease it out just a little bit longer because...
I'm going to give my weight. What everybody's been waiting for, 191 pounds.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but you're all like muscle.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to give my weight. Oh, wait. I never do.
No. No. All right. I do want to do first iTunes reviews because we appreciate these so much. And we got really a whole bunch of them. And because I got a feedback from last week reading out iTunes handles, now I'm actually kind of having fun with it. So Shanup23, Sir Penguin Hunter, Sinister Wally, Praxis 12, Possum Booty.
Wait, what?
They did that on purpose, that I'm sure. I love it.
Possum Booty.
Yeah.
Jaquin Hagar, The Red. DeCassis, I think this is actually, he did an updated review. Still even leaving us 4 stars, so we have some room to grow with him.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you're not perfect, but yeah, I'll keep listening. Thank you. Thank you very much. First time reviewer, I'm wondering, I'm going to do some research on this one, see if I can find, but I'm thinking he actually might be a first-time reviewer, he or she. Mike Hoban, Parallax V, but I'm going to read it as it should be. And Tyler Slayton. So Mike Smith of last week.
Can I read this?
You can.
I loved how you butchered my user ID on iTunes. UK is for University of Kentucky, where I graduated college. Phi Tau is for... Phi Kappa Tau, my fraternity. So it's UK Phi Tau 97.
Thank you, Mike. And if anyone else wants to correct me on pronunciations of YouTube names, iTunes names, I am really, we're on to a great start.
This
is going to be rough.
Yeah, if this is your first time listening, please go back and listen to our last episode.
Don't start here.
Okay, now. Before we get into feedback, before we get into questions, we are actually going to do our Gloomhaven drawing. We had over 80 entrants.
Should I start a drum roll?
Not yet. I just want to put out the statistics there because this was a lot of work by a lot of people, mostly you guys, our listeners. Over 80 entries, I think 85, I think, is the total. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 entries as we count them, which averages out to about 13 and a quarter per person. There were a lot of people that were way less than that, and there were some people that were way more than that. Patrons, they get bonus entries and auto entry. If you leave us a review, you get bonus entries. If you fan us on BoardGameGeek, you get bonus entries. So I just want to be completely upfront that some people have a better chance than others. Kitty's spinning the wheel right now, so apparently we're going to check this just before we do. But everyone, thank you for entering. All of the information that we got from you, all of the feedback, all the questions, I read every single bit of it. And Fletcher just got spun another shot of Dr. Cola.
Yep.
So take that. And we are going to do this. Now, the way I set this up is we now have a database. Thank you everyone for doing, I only had to do like a dozen manual entries. Everyone else went to our webpage, tabletopgametalk.com. They clicked on the giveaways button and they filled in their information. It helped immensely in going through and making sure everyone had the right stuff. That was exported into a spreadsheet. So all the entries are there. There's a random formula. Fletcher's going to go.
That was
take
close.
A drink. Take a drink. Chris. Every time Chris accidentally calls Fletcher Spencer, Chris has to take a drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so close in my head. They're
I don't know why. We're different people.
They really are.
I thought I was going to get away from that.
Definitely not married to Fletcher.
Nope.
In case the internet is listening.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Again, Fletcher, he's the most independent person. I have my favorite people, which is everybody. Honestly, if I had 85 copies of this game, I'd give away 85 copies.
We really would.
I asked Isaac after the interview, hey, can you send me 84 copies? And he's like, no. that question never actually happened, but I'm assuming that would have been the answer if I did ask it. But if
I had... He doesn't even have 84 copies.
He probably doesn't, honestly. But if I could give this game to everybody, I would. If you don't win... I'm so sorry for getting your hopes up. I almost feel guilty about it.
I know. We wish we could give away a copy to everyone. Yeah. We really do.
But next month, we're looking at 4 weeks from the time you hear this that you'll be able to kickstart it. And Isaac has told me firsthand and on the interview, he's going to actually start this print run mid-Kickstarter. So he's not even waiting until the end of the Kickstarter. He just wants to get an idea of what the demand is. So we're looking at probably relative near future. Relative being probably 3 to 4 months. That's not an official number, but if I'm doing my math right, because he's doing it local. It's in the U.S. He prints with a factory inside of Illinois. So
wow.
Yep. So it'll be cool to see this actually get reprinted and make sure everybody gets a copy. Suspense is over. We're 17 and 7 seconds in. Fletcher.
All right. I'm going to randomize this.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Winner is Brendan Shroom.
Brendan Shroom. U.S.?
Yeah, South Carolina.
All right. U.S. All right. Brendan or Brandon?
It's Brandon with an A.
Brandon.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Congratulations. I'm really sorry I didn't give you a drum roll. Chris didn't give me enough warning. Or I'm drunk.
Yep.
It's you one of those ones. You will not
find out about maybe this both. Until Tuesday. I'm not going to...
We're not letting him know in advance?
Nope. So if it was international, I would have to. But since we're in U.S., you will not find out about this until you are actually listening to this.
Congratulations. So
congratulations. That's amazing. I have absolutely...
It's a really exciting win.
Yep. And like I say, it's a heavy box, but I will take it to FedEx this week and we'll get it out to you. So you look for it within the next week or so. And that's the end that of the was Gloomhaven contest.
We're starting a new contest though next week.
Yeah,
right?
Do we all feel a little empty inside? No?
I'm full of champagne.
Okay, you're good then. That's not champagne, that's Sprite.
I'm sorry, I'm full of spray.
You can say champagne. That's a generic.
It's generic, but...
I'm not even sure it's real champagne. I think it's sparkling white wine.
It's sparkling wine. It's champagne in quotes. It's champagne.
It's champagne. Yeah, I like that. All right. So our next contest will start, again, as soon as you hear this episode, it will have started. So you can go to tabletopgametalk.com. TabletopGameTalk.com. I should make a drinking game out of every time Kitty laughs at what something I say.
All right, should we put out our drinking game for our podcast?
No.
All right, I'm going to give you some rules.
We're going to let the listeners make that up.
No, I have some rules already.
You can contribute, but let me finish this first.
Okay.
TabletopGameTalk.com. Click on the giveaways button in the upper right corner. And by the time you listen to this, our next contest will have started. This one is sponsored by Stronghold Games. We just interviewed Steven Bonacor last episode, and he has agreed to give away a copy of Fields of Green. So we're going to do that. Now, to be completely honest, following up a Gloomhaven giveaway is tricky. So we're going to actually have two winners for this one. The first winner is going to win Fields of Green. The second winner is going to win a t-shirt, which I should actually be wearing on this episode. But we just created new t-shirts for, well, not new. I guess they're new for us. We haven't given them out to anybody.
They're new in general because the last t-shirts you made had two faces on them. I was not yet a part of the podcast when Chris made these t-shirts. So they only feature Chris and Josh.
And there was only two of them that existed.
They are only two existing. Now there are six existing.
Yep. So fight the patriarchy is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Fight the patriarchy. Fight. Try to win this t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you will win a t-shirt. Like, it'll be one of, literally, there
one
are
of
six.
Seven.
Yeah.
One well, of there seven. Are six now. Yeah. Yours will be the seventh.
Because I made one for each of the people on the podcast and the significant others for the people on the podcast. And that's all that are in existence. So we're going to do two name drawings for this particular contest.
So you will win an outdated t-shirt.
No. You win a new t-shirt.
No, these are the new ones. They feature me.
Oh, okay.
I exist.
Yeah, Kitty front and center.
Actually, my sister made fun of me because she said that I tried to get the illustrator to make me look like Rapunzel from Tangled.
Because your hair is braided?
My hair is braided, and I look a lot prettier in cartoon form than I do in real life.
I will tell you that there are a few emails that may contradict that, but we won't get into that right now.
Internet. I love you, too.
Internet's the best. All right. Let's get into... holy, we're 21 minutes in. This is really...
It's a unique episode.
This is the fallout of Drinking Games episode. And since we're switching segments officially this time, now
right,
you can actually spin
the
wheel.
All right, now we're in.
No, you have to spin the
wheel. Oh, I spin the wheel. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
So, again, we have this roulette wheel in the middle of the table.
Great pod.
This was a gift to Spencer from his grandmother.
Yeah.
For Christmas one year, which I think is just so funny that we ended up with this. All right. Yeah. And the number is... 19. Let's check our glasses. Red. 19 red.
19 red. That's not... Oh, that's me.
All right, so Chris, drink some grape juice up
vitamin
here.
Vitamin filled. It's great.
A lot of vitamin C in that.
All right. Yeah. So I feel like we already hit this first part of our feedback.
Wait, no. Ryan emailed us, and this was not to enter the contest. He had just found the podcast. He wanted to email us and say, hey, Kitty...
Oh, okay. No, that's where I was going. I was skipping your first part where you have all your iTunes reviews in here.
Got it.
All right. So from Ryan, good evening. I just wanted to drop you all a note to say I'm really enjoying your podcast. I found it a few weeks ago, and now I'm going back through all the old episodes to catch up. You should stop at episode 4.
No, you should start at episode 4.
Or start, whichever way you're going. Backwards or forwards. Don't bother with those first three. I found it a few weeks ago. Now I'm going back through all the old episodes to catch up. The three of you have wonderful podcast chemistry and the dialogue flows really well. I also appreciate that you are relatively new to the hobby. Definitely a very fresh and organic feel without the know-it-all vibe that occasionally comes from some of the other more experienced podcasters. All in all, a wonderful start to one of my new favorite shows. Keep up the great work, and I'll keep listening.
All right. Well, Ryan, let us know if for some reason you stop listening, and hopefully it's not this episode.
This is an exception.
Yeah. Also, your mic's over there.
But you should all go watch this on YouTube, because seriously.
Really. If you just search for Tabletop Game Talk on YouTube. Also, you can go to the website and click on YouTube and you'll see us there. This is not staged in any way, shape, or form. It was planned, poorly planned, but it's not staged.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's take some questions. Fletcher, why don't you give us a question?
All right, this one is from Andrew. What style of ever-changing stat tracking do you prefer? So he gives some examples. Stat tokens, +1, -1 tokens. Wheel, 1 or 2-digit wheels that can be spun to show the current stat total. Pen and paper or dice?
So I love this question because I don't like almost any tracking. My favorite tracking really, if I have to track something, if I'm doing any kind of at all, I'll use pen and paper. Because spinning dials... It just seems like, okay, I'm spinning dials. It's this huge piece of something that's in front of me. The dial doesn't always spin. It doesn't, sometimes it's too loose, sometimes it's too tight. It just, yeah. Dice, you can always nudge them and they can fall over. Tokens is just a big pile of things. So I personally do two things. One, I have a whole bunch of components from Board Game Crafters, Board Game Makers. All right, there are sites out there that will send you components to board games. And I have a whole bunch of the cubed crystals of different colors and the crystal, like, so they're like multifaceted things. And so I've gotten a bunch of them in a bunch of different colors, and I will use those for a ton of different games. In fact, a game we just played today had little cardboard tokens for gold coins. I have the upgrade gold coins from Arcadia Quest. And I'm like, no, let's use these instead. So I have kind of a reserve of like components that I can bring in to a game to use. Gloomhaven, for example, there's a lot of discussion online. There's like, it feels like there's a thread every single day about how to track experience and health. I don't worry about any of that stuff. I'm not trying to use the boards. I just bring out my little cubes and my little crystals and say, okay, red are health, blue are experience. That's it. The crystals are worth 5. The cubes are worth 1. And I do that in a lot of games that don't have like, if it has a dial or a die or something that I have to use, that's what I'm going to use instead. What do you guys think?
So to completely contradict Chris while he pours me a drink, I actually really like die trackers. I think that Codex does this really well, where you track your numbers by die, where you have one pointed at 6, and then you lose one, you bring it down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I think that they're actually very hard to tip over accidentally. Yeah. And I think that that's a really good way to track things.
And I will note that Codex actually doesn't come with those dice. They come with a completely different cardboard health counter, but you've never realized it.
I've never realized it. I like to use the die because Chris taught me with the die. Yeah,
because I replaced the D6 instead, because a D6 for health is actually works really well. So in Codex, you need like your base is 20 health. So we use 4 dice all set to 5, mm-hmm. and then we'll spin down those dice and remove them away. I use dice that have a special symbol on the 6 to symbolize a building that's in progress.
I actually think that's more unhelpful.
The special symbol?
I like the actual 6. I think the special symbol is a little hard to understand sometimes.
I only use it for that particular case because it puts you into a state where you don't have hit points yet.
I guess it's just because I've used those die in RPG situations and they're very unhelpful to me.
Yeah. I definitely. I don't like special symbols on my 1s or 6s for what I'm rolling.
Because I never know if it's a 1 or a 6, because they both generally happen in the same kind of way.
Yeah. I've actually come to the point where I will only buy 6-sided dice with special symbols if they're on the 6. If they're on the 1, I will completely pass it up and I won't even consider it to buy. Fletcher, you have an opinion on this.
Yeah, so I come from a D&D background and I would use either dice because it's what you already have, or pen and paper because it's what you already have, and you don't have to buy anything. Pen and paper is easy.
Yep.
You just have a pen, you have paper, you just keep track of stats that way. Yep. Nice and easy.
Yeah. Chris is a total like buy-aholic. He will buy any.
I'm a super cheapskate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a nice balance to have here.
I like buying plastic for some reason.
Yeah, no, I just want to buy my dice. That's it. Keep track of everything, pen and paper.
Yeah. So this next question is very related. Yeah.
All right. Have you done any component upgrades that have made a particular game more thematic or enjoyable? If so, which?
So, and again, this is, so we just played Red Dragon.
I was going to say, we're going to kind of transition into Game of Today.
Yeah. So when we played our game today, Sydney was, she heard we were doing a drinking games episode. She's like, wait, you're not going to talk about Red Dragon Inn? I'm like, well, I've never played it. She's like, okay, I'm changing my schedule to teach you guys how to play this game. But one of the components in there was like these big plastic, or not big cardboard gold tokens. And I'm like, wait a minute. So that's when I brought the Arcadia Quest tokens. I'm like, no, we're going to use these metal tokens. It doesn't change the gameplay at all.
No, it really does not.
Honestly, it has absolutely no bearing whatsoever. For the most part, component upgrades for a particular game.
It makes it feel nicer.
It makes it feel nicer.
But if you already have it,
yeah,
then use it.
Yeah. If you have it, use it, but don't go out of your way to pick it up. It just doesn't matter that much. I mean, I liked playing with the metal tokens or the metal coins because I haven't actually got to use them a whole lot. But we can simply use, you know, anything that... whatever comes in the box
we could have pulled out a bunch of pennies. We could have played with the cardboard tokens. It would have been the exact same
M&Ms.
Really, like, the same experience, but the coin did have a fun feel to it. It made those clinks when you throw them in the middle of the table. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gave it a little bit more of a tactile feel to it. Tactile.
They were softened.
They were softened. Yeah.
Nice.
I didn't know you cared about textiles. Yeah. I thought I was the one who sewed around here.
No. But they're not necessary. Honestly, even like right now, board games are doing a lot of like miniature stuff. And I like miniatures in board games. They're cool. But they don't, like, Gloomhaven uses cardboard standees, which are completely fine as well.
Well, it depends on Gloomhaven, which you're talking about. If because
your characters are plastic.
The plastic characters, they also look really fun to paint. If you enjoy painting and you like to paint your miniatures, that's a completely different experience. But, like, that's a outside, like, kind of meta game within the game, I think, kind of thing, where I love painting miniatures and I do it for fun. So I'm going to really enjoy any game that has a high-quality paintable miniature.
Yeah. But if you just have a ton of minis and you don't paint them, just have a ton of minis. You have a ton of plastic, which they're cool looking. Don't get me wrong. But they're not necessary to make the game fun.
What game is it where they have like a million? My brother did this. I can't remember. Like War something?
Warhammer.
Yep. Yeah. Warhammer has so many minis that it's not even worth painting anymore.
Yeah.
They're just like...
Well, I mean, I had a friend growing up that he was totally into Warhammer, but I feel like he was more into Warhammer for painting all the minis.
Yeah.
He liked playing the game, but he wanted to get every new miniature so he could like paint it.
Yep.
Which is really fun, but if you want to just paint minis, I think it's way more fun to kind of just paint minis. Like, go on Craigslist or something, pull up a thing, and like paint someone's mini for their D&D campaign for fun.
Yep. Actually, I did that so Fletcher and I worked together, and we played D&D every Tuesday night. I've mentioned that before, and we all got these Hero Forge miniatures, and there's still this black plastic or some kind of metal alloy or something coppery looking.
Yeah, it's like brass. Steel or bronze.
Bronze, yeah. Nobody got the bronze because it's $100 a mini, but there's a number of steel ones. I'm like, you know, I want to try to paint these. So I took them all home and I painted them, but that was for our D&D campaign. I have yet to paint a board game of minis. Now, I'm probably going to do it for Gloomhaven. But I still have a hard time starting process.
There aren't actually that many minis. It's a very limited number.
Well, there's 18 of them in the box. Only six that you start with, though. And that's the tricky part is, like, you start with six. There's 12 others that are locked that you don't know what they look like until you unlock them. So do I paint the first six? Do I paint them all? Do I just look at images online? It's a big question.
I think so. I think you just start with the six and then paint them as you unlock them. I think that's kind of a fun, like, unlockable thing. Like, it's...
You get to reward yourself for unlocking them.
Yeah.
Exactly. You reward it, you get it, and then you paint it, yeah.
It's like playing a video game where you unlock a character and you get to see, like, all the things, like, mess with all the stats is kind of a unlockable thing.
Yeah. So, Dan, I think my answer to this is, does it add thematically to my enjoyment? Not necessarily. It can be fun outside of the game. Like, I want to add this thing, or the thought of adding the component is more fun to me than actually while playing the game. I'm not thinking this game is so much better because of these different components that are so much better. I will say the opposite, though, does not necessarily apply. If the components are horrible, I will have a hard time enjoying the game. So as long as the components are like good enough.
Not terrible.
Yeah, they just have to hit a base level of not awful.
Yep, I am completely fine at that point. All right, so one more question.
Okay, so this last question comes from, I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Hasham Tour.
That sounds good.
Yeah. How do you handle game transportation? I often play at someone's house or a convention. The dedicated cases are usually very expensive. Are they worth it?
I'm going to say no. And in fact, these kinds of questions have stemmed me to think that... So there's a lot of unboxing videos on YouTube. And I'm trying... If you've noticed, if you watch our YouTube channel, you know, it's like, we've done an unboxing. We've done two unboxings. And I'm trying to figure out where we kind of fall into this niche. There's tons of unboxings. There's tons of how to plays. I actually kind of want to do a reboxing videos. Like, after I've unpacked it, how do I put it all back together? Because... I think there are ways to put a game back together that make it very easy to transport, very easy to set up, that I don't often see on the internet as how you would do that. So I'm going to like really dive deeper into this idea. But as far as transportation is concerned, I have a social games box, which goes inside a very small box resistance game. So I can fit resistance, I fit werewolf, and I think I even fit coup all into a single box. And that way I can carry that around with me wherever I want. That's a one box thing. If I'm carrying around the components for a bigger game, I might carry around the box if I'm just carrying around that one box. If I'm carrying multiple things around, then I don't know. That becomes something that's a little bit more... I haven't had to carry tons of boxes around because if I'm going to a convention, I'm not actually bringing a ton of games there. I'm expecting to buy a bunch of games. Have you guys actually had to transport games?
So for me in particular, I have a few games. I'm definitely not at the level of Chris. Chris has an entire room full of games.
Too many.
And, yeah. And usually when I'm transporting games, it's either stuff for D&D, which is not that bad. It's just a few books. Or it's like maybe one... or two box games, which is really not that bad. Like maybe Settlers of Catan or Pandemic or something like that. It's not terrible.
Right.
So in my case, like you can easily throw that stuff in a bag or a backpack. It's not terrible. I haven't ever gone to a game con where I need to bring like 20 games with me or anything like that.
One of my friends, he stores all his games in the trunk of his car. And that's like that's his storage system. So he can drive anywhere and have all his games in the trunk of the car. And you open up the trunk and you can't put a spare tire in there.
It's a game store.
It's a game store. So it really just kind of depends on the situation. My suggestion is if you're traveling to a con or you're traveling to a friend's house, if you're just bringing a limited number of games, then you don't have to worry about, you know, how you're transporting it. But my basic thing, and I think I've said this before, is... everything is in plastic baggies. I repackage everything once I pull it out of the game, and we're spinning the roulette wheel again. And depending on four, what color?
Red.
Red.
No, four. Black. Black. I like.
Black four.
Oh, it's me.
All right. So that is Sprite. So everything that comes out, I put it into plastic baggies. And once they're in those plastic baggies, they're very durable. You can rotate, you can flip them upside down, rotate them upside down, whatever the case is. They actually are very, very transportable. If you try to use the trays that are in the boxes.
Transportable.
Didn't I say that?
Yeah, you did. I'm wondering if that's a word.
You tried to?
Transportable
is a word.
All right,
I feel like it is.
I'm going to say that. So we have been off topic for 38 minutes. I am going to spend 15 seconds to talk about Kickstarters. No, games I've owned, Dice City, Forge Wars. Forge Wars is Isaac Childress's previous game before Gloomhaven. Check it out. Buy it. It's a super, super awesome, epic Euro gamey thing where you're playing the blacksmith in a war and like making equipment for heroes. So that's fun. Kickstarter. If you're not using Kickstarter, you don't know about Rising Sun. If you are using Kickstarter, you definitely know about Rising Sun. This is Cool Mini or Not. Eric Lang. Back it regardless of the controversy. It's bound to be good. And for $100 and all the extra stuff you're getting, it's going to be crazy good. Also, Third Eye Games has just started a Kickstarter, the Pip System, which is a role-playing game. I heard about this on Gaming NBS, one of my favorite podcasts. They did an interview with them last Friday, so check them out if you want to hear more about Third Eye Games, Gaming NBS, the podcast. Our game
on
of
to
today.
Game of today.
Yes.
Game of today, we played the Red Dragon Inn.
Which is a...
It's a drinking game. It's a drinking game where you don't actually have to drink. It's the point of the game.
But we did.
We did. A little bit.
So the game is you're trying, like, the point of the game is to try to meta drink each other under the table. You have two tracks. You have your alcohol consumption and you have your fortitude. And your fortitude goes down while your alcohol goes up. And when they meet, you lose.
Yep. And you can give other people drinks.
You can also lose by running out of money.
Yes.
Yes.
If you don't have the money to drink, you lose.
Then you have to pay your bar tab and you have to leave.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we played while we were also actually drinking, but we weren't really paying too much attention to it. We just played the game straightforward. If you were actually trying to take the number of drinks that you were assigned during the game, I feel like it would just be too much.
It would, like, be in the game where you eventually pass out and lose.
Yeah, well, you're just asleep under the table.
I tried to. I did. But I did it with sips instead of actual, like, drinks. Yeah. Like, what is a drink?
Yeah. Well, it's also hard to adjust your fortitude.
Right.
Like, your fortitude's a little bit fixed, yeah. But...
it's true.
Yeah. But Red Dragon Inn is a fantastic drinking game. If you don't drink, it's the kind of game to drink. It's the kind of game to play if you want to kind of get that feeling for drinking games.
It felt like, you know, when you finish your role-playing game conquest and you all go to the town and you do your purchasing and you, like, you know, the thief gets to roll to steal and, like, yeah. That kind of thing.
It's very adventure-y. The adventure is between their adventures.
It felt like a between the adventure game.
I feel like I want to bring this out in a game of D&D.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, you're all at the tavern. Now we're going to play this game.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the wizard gets this deck, and the rogue gets this deck,
exactly.
And they all have their kind of special powers and fun, different stuff.
Yeah.
So I was we'll an talk illusionist.
About, yeah, we'll talk about more of this in our on topic, so let's go on topic now.
All right, on topic. In this episode, we're talking about drinking games, in case you couldn't already tell. These may not be traditional tabletop games, but they're played on the table, mostly. So let's talk about them.
All right. So first we should say we should spin our wheel on the table. Again, this is a roulette wheel given to Kitty by Spencer's grandmother.
It was given to Spencer by his grandmother.
All right. With shot, right. So and just to describe what this is.
Ten.
So the shot glass is
ten black.
I am 10 black. So I'm gonna I have a shot glass with this, which has wonderful grape juice in it. And the way you do it is you spin this wheel and it lands on this, and it's like, oh, you have to take the shot. Amazingly, we have not actually had a duplicate yet.
We haven't, yeah.
The shot glasses are numbered.
Yeah, shot glasses are numbered. They either have two or three of the numbers on them. So we split them amongst ourselves to make sure they had an equal distribution of numbers. That meant that Fletcher got six shot glasses. Each with two numbers. Where Kitty and I got five glasses, each with two numbers and one with two or three numbers. So I'm going to take my drink of grape juice. Delicious and nutritious, and let's talk drinking games. Now, right. we played a couple games today.
Yeah.
So we just talked about Red Dragon Inn, which is a board game about drinking games, but you don't have to actually drink. It's true. And it's quite fun.
It is pretty fun. I'd play that again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I wouldn't give it a super skill and tactical game.
I mean, it's almost a drafting game where you have your hand and you get to choose if you're going to discard, keep your hand. You draw up to seven every turn. And you can choose to discard.
Yeah. So at the beginning of your turn, you can discard as many cards from your hand and draw new ones. You get an action every turn, and that action can be so-and-so loses a fortitude, so-and-so takes a drink. You also give a drink card to everybody at the start of your turn. You're going
to
flip up that drink card.
Well, you get to choose one drink card.
Right.
Unless you have a special power.
Right. You take one drink card and you can take that drink card. You don't see what it is. You give it face down to the other players. Sometimes you can give multiple drink cards if you spend more gold. And you ultimately lose if you run out of gold, so you can't drink anymore. Your fortitude is lower than your alcohol level.
Mm-hmm.
And your alcohol level can increase, your fortitude can decrease. The base game comes, I think, with four different characters and a number of cards. And there are... I like 6 to 8 expansions for this thing. There's a lot of expansions.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a ton. So you're adding more characters, you're adding more rules. But as we mentioned, it's kind of like, you know, D&D between the scenes. Like,
it's true.
Yeah. So
you get to do gambling where you play a gambling card and everyone has a chance to play their gambling or cheating card back.
It's like a fun metagame within the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, the gambling part's like just like this meta gambling part of it.
Uh-huh. So as your action, you can play a gambling card, and then everyone else has a chance to play so many other cards. I got really screwed by the gambling cards because I had like 5 of them in my hand, and I kept trying to play them, and Chris kept being like, nope, done.
Yep. I'm meditating, leave me alone, because I was playing the wizard.
I was playing an illusionist.
I was playing the healer.
Yep.
I don't remember what Sydney was playing.
Sydney
was the thief.
The thief. Rogue.
Yeah.
Rogue.
Yeah, so she could just kind of steal our money and, you know, slip in different traps.
She was the best at
she had a lot of cheating cards. I had a lot of cheating cards too, but I didn't draw them until later.
Yeah. I had like pretty much no cheating cards, but I had the most cards of like, nope, I'm talking about religion. I'm saving this money for charity. I am, I don't know, whatever. Like, I had a lot of ways to get out of gambling.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So if you're not a big drinker, and actually a number of people on Twitter, so I put this out on Twitter saying, hey, and I'm going to do this actually probably going forward for every episode. I'm going to post on Twitter on our podcast on Board Game Geek, our podcast page. I'm going to let you know ahead of time, I'm looking for feedback on our next episode. So our next episode is going to be on Kickstarter. We'll tweet about it. We're going to talk about, well, we won't talk about it, but we'll announce it at the end of this episode and right now. But keep an eye out on our podcast page on Board Game Geek, because if you want to have your input in on the next topic, that's where you can do that. Of course, you can always send us feedback on the current topic, and we'll cover that during our off-topic segment of the next episode. But there were a number of people that replied back with, I don't really drink, or I never drink, or we're not drinkers. And it was actually surprising to me the number of people that responded in that way. Red Dragon Inn is a game where you can still play it, but it's not a drinking game per se.
It's not a drinking game. Yeah. You can play that game and have fun.
At all.
Yeah.
It is a sober game about drinking.
Yep. So I do want to talk about actual drinking games. So these are like you're in college or maybe out of college or maybe you're 40 something and you're like, let's pretend we're in college. There's all kinds of reasons why you might want to do this.
So we came from a lot of different backgrounds.
Yeah.
So I went to NIU, Northern Illinois University, and just being there was kind of, you had to play some drinking games. You had a very different college experience.
Yeah, Fletcher. So I went to Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas. It's a small private school, and despite its name, it's not religious. But the only drinking games that I really played were Flippy Cup,
yep.
Mm-hmm. And beer pong.
Yeah. And I went to Western Michigan University, which...
He's wearing his shirt today.
I'm wearing my shirt today. Complete coincidence, to be honest.
We believe him.
No, true. Honest. where I actually did not drink in college almost ever. Like, with my college days, I drank on New Year's Eve and my birthday, and that was it. Any other day, I did not drink. Even after I was pledging a fraternity my senior year, I still never drank. I was designated buyer. I did not drink.
So, like, you're old enough to buy the alcohol.
Yeah, you can buy the alcohol. By the way,
I feel like I had a very typical Midwest college experience, and you had a very typical kind of Southern Western.
I don't know if I would call my experience typical, but it's just my experience.
Yeah. So
I'll go ahead and say I was typical.
Yeah. Now let's talk about Flippy Cup and beer pong for a moment, because these are what I consider dexterity drinking games.
I'm also gonna lump quarters in there
and quarters. So Flippy Cup, you have an X number of cups on the table, usually
one per person.
And you're going to drink that, and then you have to put the cup base down, and you're trying – no, sorry, lip down.
Lip down.
And you're trying to flip it from the edge of the table. Yeah. And you're trying to flip it so it lands base down. And as soon as you do, the next player does the same thing. They drink their drink and then put the cup upside down and try to flip it up. Once, so you're playing teams. So you have one side against another side. The first team that gets done.
Think of like a long rectangular table.
Like long rectangular
and
table.
And it's like a relay race down to the end.
Definitely. Yep.
And then that team wins.
Yeah.
Yay! And depending on whatever particular rules, the other team might have to drink more or whatever the case is. You've already drank a whole bunch. And it's about time to flip the wheel again. So that is Flippy Cup. It is very fun. I went to a competition a couple years ago and played this at a bar and read 12.
12.
I don't have red
12. That's me.
Amazing. We don't have any repeats still yet.
I know.
All right. So I Dr. Cola.
Dr. Cola.
So, which was very fun. They had a ton of people playing this game, and they were actually, it was a tournament. So if you got to the end, you won, you advanced to the next tournament. So that's one very dexterity-based game. It does tend to put a lot of extra beer on the table, so you might want to play this outside at picnic tables and stuff. Beer pong. Who wants to describe beer pong?
I played a lot of beer pong.
All right, go for it.
Beer pong, you have your cups set up kind of like bowling pin style,
yep.
where they're at one end of a long table and you're throwing a ping pong ball trying to get it into the cup. Once it gets into the cup, that player has to take their shot of beer, basically. This is typically
sometimes
played
it's in that same cup and hopefully not. Hopefully it's on the side.
Normally in the same cup.
In the same cup, which is super gross. Don't play.
You have a cup of water to wash the ping pong.
You should really not be a preschool teacher, because if you think that's gross, you have not seen gross.
So preschool kids are more disgusting than college kids.
I just had my nose, like somebody else's nose, blown into my own hair.
Let's go back to beer pong.
So beer pong. You throw a ping pong ball into a cup. They drink the beer out of that cup, and that cup is gone. And you have a couple of different kind of reshuffles where you can move the cups into different positions where you're trying to throw the ping pong ball across the table. But basically, it's, you know, you throw the ball, you drink out of the cup, and whoever finishes the cup on the other side of the table wins.
Yep. Now, there are some nuances to this. If you hit it into a cup without hitting the rim, then they have to drink two cups. If it bounces, then they can bat it away. And there's like the re-rack rules and things like that. That they're all kind of like house
I think
rules.
Is the most like house rule re-racking is the most difficult to keep track of.
Yeah. But mostly it's just a standing across the table. And it can be any table. Ping pong table is ideal as far as size and
stuff. Though they do make beer pong tables.
Yeah,
they do.
Yep. Which are a little, they're about half as wide as ping pong tables.
They're narrow. They're very narrow. It's almost like if you go to Sam's Club or Costco and buy like one of those narrow plastic tables.
Yep.
Like you would, I'm a church kid. So you think of them as like, you know, the long, narrow church tables. Yep. Like, you know, it's like, it's the size of a normal table, but it's almost half the width.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and that's beer pong. And it's actually a very fun game.
It is fun.
I don't know that anyone would ever play this with like Coke or something.
No.
But
you have to be a little bit drunk to feel like it's worth it.
It's really not a fun game otherwise.
Yeah. It's about the social aspect. You normally play in pairs. So there's normally two of you, 2v2.
What it actually reminds me most of is Bags, where you're playing like in the backyard, throwing bean bags across the yard at each other.
Yep. So, all right, Fletcher, you want to take the last one? I don't know what the last one was, but what we're talking about.
Quarters.
Have you played Quarters?
I've not played Quarters.
What?
I know a little bit about it, but I've not played it.
All right, I've only played this game maybe twice in my entire life. So, again, college kitty. Tell us about Quarters.
I don't know how I became the voice of the typical college experience.
Where did you go again?
I went to NIU.
Okay, that's
Yeah. Northern
also,
Illinois University.
Fletcher and I are literally computer programmers in our day jobs, so you win.
You guys are nerds.
Yeah.
You were a meteorologist major.
I did.
Oh, by the way, before we do this, spin this, because I want to think.
All right, we're going to spin it. I need to pick up the ball first. All right, let's try this.
So again,
spinning.
Highly recommend
going the other way.
You check out our YouTube channel if you have not stopped listening by now.
28
black.
Oh, it's me.
All right. So now tell us about quarters.
Quarters is a game you play. It's a dexterity game where you try to bounce a quarter off the table into your glass. And that's about it.
That's it.
Wait,
so what's the drinking aspect of this?
I don't actually know if the quarter bounces into your glass, then you drink it, or if the quarter bounces into your glass and you make everyone else drink.
We're way too nerdy to talk about this game.
Yeah.
We really are.
Yeah. There's a finance thing to this because honestly, there's a bunch of quarters involved.
If you're going to play quarters, you might as well be playing Flippy Cup or Beer Pong. I felt like it kind of fell in the middle of those two games.
Aren't you supposed to like bounce a quarter off the table into a cup?
Yeah. And if it hits the cup, though, that's where I'm kind of lost, is it goes into the cup and then what happens? Yeah. Are you supposed to drink it or are you supposed to make someone else drink?
I think if you get in the cup, you should have to drink. Or no, someone else should have to drink.
Yeah. Someone else should have to drink. But
we're going
to
make up these rules.
I don't know. I feel a little bit like we're just...
Honestly, all right, so this might be a little backpedaling from the fact that we have no idea how quarter drinking game works. But that's how most drinking games works, is you make it up. You just decide, it's like, okay, we're going to do this, and if this happens, you drink.
Speaking about making it up, we played Kings.
Yes.
As the last game.
Hey, right. Kings is not a made-up game.
Kitty taught us how to play. Yes.
Let's transition into card game drinking games.
Yes.
Card
to save
games.
Ourselves from trying to explain quarters.
Yeah, exactly.
Kings, I've actually played. Kings is also called Circle of Death. If you Google either one of them, that'll give you rules. The rules that I played by were very specific. It had king. You draw a king out of the deck, you make a rule. If you draw a queen, there's so many rules. There's way too many.
There's rules from, what, ace to nine?
Ace to eight.
Eight?
Eight
and down.
Eight and down is its own rule. You're right. Yeah. Because nine, you have to rhyme.
Yeah.
Nine is rhyme. Ten is categories. Jacks are thumbs.
Queens are questions. Kings are rules. Aces
King, you make
are
it a rule. Aces are waterfalls. I had to teach Fletcher and Chris what a waterfall
was.
We had
no clue.
So if you get a waterfall, you start drinking, and then the person to your left cannot stop drinking until you do. So it kind of goes, you know, down and down like a waterfall.
Like a waterfall.
Yeah.
Kings, you get to pick. You can either pick a card that you draw, or you can just make up a rule for you cannot say the letter S in the rest of the game.
Which was a great example that we never actually did because that would have been a really hard rule to follow.
It reminds me of an episode of Gilmore Girls where they couldn't say a word like it.
That's a different podcast.
Or the.
Although I would do a Gilmore Girls podcast.
I would love to do a Gilmore Girls podcast. But you can make up whatever rule you want at King. It's just every card you draw is a little bit different. You put the card under the tab of a pop can, like a can of beer.
Yeah.
And when the can. It's a pop can of beer.
Yes. A can with a tab on top.
So whenever you put a card under the tab, whoever pops the tab has to chug that beer.
So as soon as you hear the hiss.
I think ours
went to Chris.
Did like 13.
About 13 cards.
It was about 13 cards.
Yeah,
how about
which is
a
about
quarter
a suit,
of the way?
A suit worth a deck.
Yeah.
Quarter of the way through the deck, it goes to someone to chug the beer.
Yep. So, and then there's also, we played Irish poker to start off with. And this is because Fletcher's girlfriend's like, you're doing a podcast on drinking games? You got to talk about Irish poker. I'm like, what's Irish poker?
Yeah. I'd never heard of it before.
I had only ever heard of Indian poker.
Yeah. Well, for the record, Irish poker apparently is a real game with real tournaments and real competition
and such.
It's like
Omaha.
Yeah. The version we were playing was you'd put four cards face down in front of you. And the first card, you had to guess whether or not this card was red or black. So it's a 50-50 that you're going to drink. Most drinking games, again, there's no real thinking involved. It's just flip a coin. And as I say flip a coin, we're going to roll a ball.
We're going to spin the ball. Or spin the...
If you are correct, then you make other people drink. If you're incorrect, then you have to drink.
29 black.
Not me.
I think it's dead. It was me.
Oh,
spin again. All right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, spin again. All right. So keep
this,
talking,
this
though.
This could be really bad at the end. So on the second card.
We're just going to go with this. 24, black.
That's me.
All right.
Drink it.
More Dr. Cola. on the second card, you had to guess the... What were you guessing on the second card?
Second card was...
It was a number.
Over or under?
No. The third card was over under.
No, the third card was between...
No,
because
you inside had to get... or outside.
No. Oh, right. The second card...
It was over under.
But over under... Over under the first card.
Yeah, yes. Over under the first card, yeah. Yes.
So the second card you have to guess, is it higher or lower than the first card? Again, if you're right... Other people drink. If you're wrong, you drink. The third one is between or outside. So inside or outside, the first two cards.
Right.
The same thing if
inside
you're right.
Inside was inclusive.
Inclusive. So inside included the two cards that were already up. And then right the or wrong. Card, yeah. And the last card was suit. Really just kind of a
it was
whatever.
Suit. Yeah. You get to pick hearts, diamonds, spades, or clubs.
Yeah. Now, at that point, though, you can see everyone else's cards on the table. So you can kind of say, well, my odds are there's not a lot of hearts on the table, so I'm going to say hearts. But again, the same thing. And this isn't poker. I don't think it's Irish. But
you end up drinking a lot.
It was so much drinking.
I actually really like BS, which stands for bologna sandwich.
Bologna sandwich.
If you're listening on the internet.
Yep.
So you get to put down your cards and you get to put down two twos, three threes, four fours, whatever
down.
It is. They're face down. You get to choose.
So you're bluffing potentially. You're bluffing.
Potentially bluffing. So if you have two twos, you get to put them down. Somebody says BS. They turn them up, and if it's two twos, they lose, and if it's not two twos, you lose, and so you have to drink the drink if you lose.
Or pick up the cards.
Yep.
Well, either
the rule
way.
The game is to get rid of all your cards.
Yeah,
either
you
way,
get rid of everything.
You have to pick the cards, yeah. But if you were lying, you pick up the cards and drink.
Yes.
So it becomes harder and harder to lie.
Yeah. And there are so many drinking card games, and I think the real common denominator of drinking card games are super easy to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Although
the
just,
kings,
but just enough. But only one person has to know the rules. And when you pull something up, that person says, "Oh, you got a queen, so you have to ask a question." You know, so you can like it. It becomes one of those things. It's a very social and interactive game. Now, there's an entire class of drinking games that have nothing to do with actually being a game. And that is the class of I'm watching a TV show, listening to a podcast, and every time they do something, every time Chris uses a word that's not actually a word, drink. And I do that a lot. And Kitty's spinning the wheel again.
Ten?
Black 10.
Black 10. I've already drank that.
All right.
Every time Chris says something that is absurd, because I listen to my own podcast, I'm like, that wasn't a word. Also wasn't what I was thinking, but... So you could make that into a drinking 20, game.
24? 24 black?
Or 13. Or 16. What was that?
16 red.
I have
we'll call it 16 red. It was me.
All right. When you look at those kinds of games, those are just games where you're trying to get drunk. Gilmore Girls, every time they have witty banter, you drink. You're going to be wasted by the end of the episode.
We have a really good drinking game for Pride and Prejudice, the BBC version.
I didn't even know there was one, but
go ahead. My God, with Colin Firth. Okay. All the girls get on the podcast and get with me because Colin Firth's BBC Pride and Prejudice is so much better than the one with Keira Knightley, which we pretend does not exist.
Doesn't exist.
But we have a whole set of rules, and if you want them... Email tabletopgametalk@gmail.com and I will send you back all of our best rules.
In the subject line, put attention kitty.
Literally, it is a 6-hour show. And whenever Darcy stares at Lizzie, whenever Jane is too romantic, whenever somebody mentions Catherine de Bourgh, like there are rules. I love that one, and I also love the Star Wars drinking game. Whenever a good guy wears white and a bad guy wears black, you take one drink. And whenever a good guy wears white,
no, good guy wears black.
Other way around.
Yeah.
Damn it. So whenever a good guy wears white and a bad guy, no, other way around again.
Oh my gosh.
Damn it. Chris, again, explain it.
Email.
All right, we're going to beep this, apparently. Whenever a good guy wears black.
I did not ever say the F word.
You did not.
That was my goal for this podcast.
Whenever you go against stereotype, you have to drink double. How's that?
True.
All right.
Thank you, Chris, for explaining that for me.
All right.
But also, Chris is the one who's refilling my glass this whole time.
For the record, Kitty is much more enjoyable when she's drinking Sprite. When she's drinking Sprite, she just becomes a very happy person.
I'm a fun person.
Yeah.
I'm a fun person all the time.
Have I been endorsing Sprite and Dr. Cola and grape juice this entire time?
So Sprite's a brand name. Dr. Cola, I'm pretty sure, is not.
All right.
We're going to call it white drink. White bubbly drink.
White bubbly drink. Carbonated.
You're drinking purple non-carbonated.
Yes.
Lemon okay. lime soda.
Well, for those people who are listening, they realize like you've been talking for an hour and 5 minutes now.
And now it might be time to stop.
Yeah. And
what on earth is Happy Salmon?
All right. So Happy Salmon. It's in the show notes. This is a game that Sean Kelly, one of our patrons, a co-host of the Gaming and BS podcast, and this is a game I will be playing with them this coming weekend at GaryCon. Happy Salmon.
Is that in Gary, Indiana?
No. It Gross. Is Gary Gygax, so it's in Lake Geneva, okay. Wisconsin.
Fair enough. 32 red?
32 red, not me.
Or 15 black.
Also not. Oh, that is me. I will take that.
Drink it.
All right. So Happy Salmon is kind of a I honestly have not played this yet, but I really want to because it involves a whole lot of you have to make salmon things with your hands.
What is so a salmon thing?
So you can do like a high five, or you can do like fist bump. I'm making these up because I honestly don't know, but you do some kind of thing with somebody else, and a happy salmon is you're like making a fish thing with your hands. And it's not necessarily a drinking game, but I'm going to turn it into a drinking game this coming weekend. So I really wanted to mention it. on that note, I think we've gone too long. And if we haven't lost all of our listeners...
Listen to another episode.
Yeah.
Please.
I'm sorry that I'm in this one.
We'll have you back another time.
If you've made it this far, I'm hoping...
22 or 18.
I don't have one of those.
Nope.
I'm hoping that you'll stick around for our next episode. We're going to talk about Kickstarter. And I'm actually going to read the outro as we keep spinning this wheel until we're out of things 30, to go.
33 or 1?
I'm a 33, so I'm going to have drink more grape juice. I've never done this part before. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the intro with me.
And remember, we love your feedback. So consider leaving us an iTunes review or email us with comments or questions at tabletopgametalk@gmail.com. We would love to hear your feedback on drinking games or your experiences with them. Do I drink again? All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. You can also reach us on Facebook @tabletopgametalkpodcast or at Twitter @tabletopgametlk because there's not enough letters in that and for me to spell it talk. You can also reach us directly at Game Master Chris, Josh is Blonde, and Kitten L. And if you like what you hear, and oh god, I hope that's spread the word by sharing or liking our posts. Finally, a huge thanks to our patrons. I have to concentrate on this. Emil Jill Jam, Lucas Hartso, Charles Finch, Jade Pedersen, Shane Poole, Micah Hoban, Jade... Oh, hold on, I need to start the music. That's never happened before. Jaquin Hagar, Trevor Olson, Rudy Liu, Sam from New York, Brian Arnold, Joss Arntz, Michael Oltz, C. Marie, Daniel Shepard, Sean Kelly, John Merkel, Jason Strong, and Joseph Lee. If you'd like to support us via Patreon, you can find us at tabletopgametalk.com. Click on the Support Us page. Until next week, when we talk about Kickstarter, keep playing games and having fun.
Good night.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.